you'd like to follow along, I'll be reading from the ESV version. It's John 15, 18 through 25. John 15, 18 through 25. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were in the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they would also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not know, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause.
Good morning. Always good to be with you again this morning as we open up God's Word together. In this lesson, we will be dealing with a challenge, I think, for all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, but maybe in particular for our young people. And that is being different. Kind of be like that duck, if you will, in that picture. God, and of course, instructs us to be different than the world, as we just read in John chapter 15. And we're going to discuss this morning some key points on what it takes to be different. And finally, we'll notice some blessings that are ours if we are, of course, different. Jesus called us out of the world, and therefore, since we are different and we expose the things of the world hates us because of that. But first of all, I want to notice that we are called to be different. And we're going to be looking at several different passages with you this morning. And so I encourage all of you to open up your Bibles or your phones or tablets, whatever you have, and follow along with me as we kind of go on this trip together. So we are called to be different. A very familiar text to us, found in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, looking at verses 13 and 14. And I also included Luke 13, verse 24, which is the parallel passage to this. And Luke 13, verse 24 has that word strive. Strive to enter through that narrow gate. But Matthew 7 says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So the idea here is we need to strive, we need to work hard to enter through that narrow gate. And that is the harder of the gates to get through. A lot of people are on that broad way, going through that broad gate that leads to destruction. So most of the time, if you are following the crowd, that's kind of a red flag that you're going in the wrong direction, right? You're going with the flow. That's probably not a good thing. The crowd is going the easy way, right, through the broad gate, and it does not take hardly any effort to get through that gate. All you have to do is just kind of go along with the flow and you'll end up at that broad gate. It is certainly more difficult to get through that narrow gate. It takes hard work. It takes intentionality. I must know where I'm going, must know what I'm doing at all times. And we need to always keep our focus on where we're going, because if we lose track of where we're headed, we're probably going through the wrong gate. I was reading through the book of Hebrews this week, and the idea of do not drift away. It always paints in that picture of my mind when I was lived in Tampa and I was in the Gulf of Mexico, and I was just kind of wading in the water. It's kind of, you know, maybe 25 yards or so from the beach. And I just thought I was staying in the same spot. Well, when I finally came to, I looked and my family was way over there. Because I didn't know, I'd just been drifting along. The water had been taking me further and further away from where I thought I was. So the idea of intentionality, do not drift away. It is more difficult. It takes hard work. And always we need to look to the end. We need to know where we are going. The crowd is going through the gate that leads to destruction. Jesus says here that only a few are willing to go a different way to get life. So I hope all of us here are among those few. We need to be different. And that's what Jesus is pointing out here just in these two verses. Strive to enter through that narrow gate. Well, how do we do that? Well, Paul, in Romans chapter 12 and in verses 1 through 2, kind of gives us a hint of what it takes to get through that narrow gate. Chapter 12 is a big turning point in the book of Romans. It's kind of more of the application section, if you will, of the book. And that's what starts this section in chapter 12. He says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. I want us to notice that. I urge you by the mercies of God. Because of what God has done for us. Because of his grace. Because of his mercy. It wasn't because of the works of the law. It's nothing that we have done that we have received this justification, this salvation through Christ. So he says, based on the mercies of God, based on what God has done for you, this is what you are to do for him. So he continues, says, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And then he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We are to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice to God. We are to give our entire life to God and to the work of his kingdom. Well, what does it mean to be a living and holy sacrifice? Well, what does that look like? In Hebrews chapter 13... and in verses 15 and 16, it says, through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that gives thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So the Hebrew writer tells us some absolute things that we can do in order to give our lives as a sacrifice to God. One, we can give thanks to his name. We can praise God for what he has done. That's one of many ways. We can be a living sacrifice. Another way, the Hebrew writer says, is do not neglect doing good and sharing. He says, with such sacrifices that we give, God is pleased. And that's the whole idea of a sacrifice. Whatever you are sacrificing, we want it to please the one that we are giving that sacrifice to. So those are some ways that we can live as a holy, or be a living and holy sacrifice to God. But he says, do not be conformed to the world. Do not be conformed to the world. When the Israelites were about to enter into the promised land, the land of Canaan, and Joshua were to lead them and conquering the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, and all those ites that were in that land. He says, do not leave them alive. And certainly do not serve their gods. Do not give your daughters in marriage to their sons, and don't let your sons marry their daughters. Or what is going to happen is they are going to become like those nations. So Joshua did a pretty good job of that. But if you look at the book of Judges, they didn't completely clear out the land. And what ended up happening? Well, exactly as God said, they became like those nations. And unfortunately, a lot of the prophets says, you have become even worse than the nations. So do not be conformed to this world. Think of a mold. I am anything but a baker, but I understand that if you want to make some kind of cakes, it's good to put things like in a mold, and then you bake that mold, and the cake will end up being kind of like whatever you put that cake batter in, if I'm probably getting all these terms mixed up. But hopefully you know what I'm talking about. The idea is you are molded, or that cake is molded to that whatever you put it in. Well, that's the idea of being conformed. Well, but don't be conformed to this world. Don't be acting like this world. It is easy to be conformed to the things of the world that the world thinks that are important. If you think about the American dream, well, what is the American dream? Well, in order to be happy, well, you need lots of money. Right? You need a priority on money. You need to look good. You need wisdom. Be athletic. Primary focus on sports. You need to live in a nice house. And that is the recipe for happiness. Well, that's what the world has kind of agreed to. And that's what they're working towards. Well, we don't need to have that same priority in our life. These things of the world should not be our primary focus in this life, because we are searching for a heavenly country whose architect and builder is God. That way we can be sojourners, we can be pilgrims, because we're not worried about trying to fit in to this world. I know we're spending a little bit of time here, but it says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transformed is where we get the word metamorphosis from. It's when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. You just think of the change that takes place in that time. Well, that's kind of supposed to be us. We're supposed to make this drastic change from being of the world to being being in the world, but not of the world. So Jesus was constantly teaching his disciples, beware of the teachings of the Pharisees, because you are to prove what the will of God is. Jesus broke down racial barriers by making a Samaritan the hero of the story, in contrast to the priest and the Levites. Are we being conformed to the world? Are we being transformed by the renewing of our mind? It takes what our mind focuses on is what we will eventually become. In Ephesians 4, and I want you to turn here with me. Ephesians 4, we won't read this whole context, but this really tells us how we are to walk as children of light. Now, I got that from that phrase from chapter 5, verse 8. Don't walk as unwise, but walk as wise, walk as children of light. Well, this is the idea here. In chapter 4, starting in verse 25, he says, these are the things that you need to put away. You are to put on the new man, put off the ways of the world. Well, in verse 25, he gives us a lot of wonderful things on how we can not be a part of the world, how we can be different, how we can be going on that narrow path that leads to life. Verse 25 says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So one way we can be on that straight and narrow is we speak truth to one another. We don't lie to one another. Verse 26 says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. When we are angry, well, that is an emotion that is good. Certainly Jesus was angry with those money changers at the temple, and his anger drove them out. And they noticed the zeal of the Lord was in him. We can be angry about sin that is taking place. We can be angry about all the abortions that have taken place and are continuing today. There's a lot of things that we should be angry about. But a lot of times, I think we are angry because things are happening to us that are getting us angry. And it says, well, boy, the devil likes that. When you're angry about selfish reasons, boy, that gives opportunity to sin. So verse 27 says, do not give no opportunity to the devil. Verse 28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, being honest, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. How does the world act? Well, the world tries to take anything that it can for themselves. Jesus, Paul says, that's not the way with you. And instead of trying to take everything for yourselves, you work. And not only work so that you don't have to steal, you work so that you can give. So you go from being a thief to being a giver. That's the idea of leading this life that is completely different than the world. And you can keep reading there. It gives us a lot of things that how we can be different, how we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Well, maybe that's a lesson in itself, but since we are called to be different, let's think about what's it going to take. This is not the easy path, right? Broad, a few are there who find it. So how can we be a part of this few? What does it take to be different? I just noted three out of many things that it takes for us to stay on that narrow path. Number one, I would just say mental toughness. We need to know that this way is going to be difficult. And I just put the whole book of 1 Peter. Now, we're certainly not going to read a lot of that, but I want to go through that book with you. And just Peter is telling his audience, you got to be prepared for a difficult life being a Christian. Because if you're not prepared for that, if you think this is going to be an easy life, that this is the easy way to get to heaven, boy, you're sadly mistaken. Look at chapter 1. And in verses 6 and 7, it says we are going to go through trials. We're going to go through the fire. And that fire is going to test our faith. Is your faith going to come out better on the end? If you're taking gold through the fire, boy, that's actually a good thing for the gold. It kind of melts away and gets rid of all the things that's on that coin that's not gold. And it's going to melt that away. And after the fire, you're just going to have pure gold. Well, that's going to be like our faith. Well, our faith is going to go through a lot of challenges. Look at chapter 1, verse 14. In summary, it says, don't be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. In other words, before you were a Christian, boy, you had a different passion in life. And it was that passion was most likely pleasing yourself. Well, don't be conformed. There's kind of our language from Romans 12 again. Don't be conformed to that way of living. You're a different man now. Look at chapter 2 and in verse 20. It says, if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, that this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. In that context, it says if you are punished for doing evil and you endure it, well, you know, don't pat yourself on the back because you deserve that. You did evil, so you get punished for that. But if you get punished and you didn't do anything wrong and you endure it, that's pleasing to the Lord. Chapter 4, and in verse 4, it says, they malign you. They is the world. They malign you because you don't join them in their sinful behavior. You're not going along with the flow, right? You're not being a part of the world. You're being different. Well, what do you get? You get maligned. You get made fun of. And that's part of the persecution that Peter is telling his audience. You're going to have to suffer through that. Look at verse 12 of chapter 4 of 1 Peter. Don't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. That's what he said at the beginning, right? In chapter 1, you're going to go through the fire. You're going to be tried. Your faith is going to be tested. But it says, don't be shocked when this happens to you as some strange thing were occurring in your life. Oh, I didn't expect this. People are testing my faith. Well, that's to be expected. Look at verse 14 of chapter 4. It says, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. If they're making fun of you because you are trying to be like Christ, it says you are blessed if you do that. Look at chapter 5 and verse 9. This will be the end of 1 Peter for us this morning. Chapter 5, verse 9, it says, you are not alone. The same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brothers. You know, it's easy to think, I'm the only one that's being persecuted in the way I'm being persecuted. I'm trying to do what's right, and people are making fun of me for being different. Says you're not alone. Don't have that mindset of it's poor me. No, there's others, many others everywhere that are going through the same difficulties that you are experiencing. Another way that it another attribute that we must kind of take on in this road to get through that narrow gate. What it takes to be different is it takes conviction. Now, I didn't give you a whole book. I just gave you an entire chapter. Daniel chapter 3. And this is Daniel's three friends. That's how I remember what's in that chapter. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. You think about that story. How they were able to literally stand up for God when everyone else was bowing down to that image, that golden image. I think it was about 90 feet tall. Everyone could see it. When the music plays, everyone bows down to this image. Well, there's three Jews that are unwilling to bow down to that image. They knew it was God's will that they should never bow down to an image. That was one of the Ten Commandments. They believed God was watching them and would judge them for their actions. They believed in the power of God to rescue them if He wanted to, if it was His desire. And they also knew if they did not bow, they would be thrown into the furnace. But they were saying, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Not what this powerful king wants us to do in Nebuchadnezzar. We need to have the attitude of, I'm going to please God above man. And it doesn't matter if the man is the most powerful person at work, or the most powerful person at school, or most influential, or the cool kid at school. That doesn't matter. I'm going to please the Lord. When we give in to peer pressure or any kind of pressure, we are honoring man above God. So the question for me are you willing to stick out? Are you willing to be different for the Lord? You know, it also takes. Yeah, the first two, I think, are really kind of geared towards me. I got to be tough. I got to be strong. I got to be convicted in the Lord. But I tell you what also we need is encouragement. We need the help of everyone else around us. And that is the joy. That's the benefit of being here this morning surrounded by other Christians that are trying to go against the flow, that are trying to be different than the world, that are trying to go through that narrow gate. We're in this together, and we need the encouragement of each other here. When we come together on Sundays and Wednesdays and other times that we get to be with each other, we are usually coming with a lot of battle scars from the world, right? We need each other this morning. The apostles sent Barnabas to a new church in Antioch. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 23, it says, when Barnabas got to Antioch from Jerusalem, which would have been a really long journey for him, it says, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. That was his goal. I'm going to encourage you to remain true to the Lord. He knew it was a big temptation to go back to their old ways of living, which was not living in the way that would be pleasing to the Lord. He says, remain true to the Lord. And this needs to be our message to each other. That's the only thing that matters. Paul and Barnabas went back to the churches. And that's your other reference there in Acts 14, verse 22. On their first missionary journey, they went and they established, preached the gospel, established all of the churches in different cities. And one of those cities that they established a church was in Iconium. And then they went to Lystra and Derbe. And the Jews in Iconium were so mad at Paul, so jealous of him, they went to Lystra and Derbe. And they got all the Jews together there that were against Paul. And they stoned him to the point where they thought, there's no need for us to throw another stone because he's already dead. Well, by the grace of God, Paul was not dead, and he got up and he went to another town to do the exact same thing that got him stoned in that city. And then when they were done, they were pretty close to Antioch. But you know what Paul and Barnabas said? Instead of going to Antioch the short way, you know what we need to do is we need to go back to all of those churches that we established, and we need to go check on them. And it says there that they urged them to continue in the grace of God, saying, you're going to go through a lot of persecution. No, instead of just going back where it's safe, let's go back and revisit all these churches and strengthen them in the Lord. That's what we need to be doing for each other. This road that we're called to be on, that few enter that narrow gate, we need encouragement from each other. Well, we thought about a lot of different challenges, a lot of different persecutions that's going to occur, but I want to talk about the blessings of being different. In Hebrews chapter 12, and in verses 1 through 3, the familiar text to us is right after that Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, I think some call it. He says there in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, I think referring to all of those back in chapter 11, those people are cheering you on, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. We are in good company. If we are sticking up for the Lord, if we're willing to be different, boy, we're in the same group as the prophets. We're in the same group as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Noah and all those who are listed and many more. We're in good company. We need to lay aside anything that is keeping us from serving Jesus. This was really helpful to me. It says, don't ask, is this wrong? Or is it a sin to do this? Or is it a sin to listen to this? I think that's the wrong question. I'm going to have a better question for you. The better question is this. Is this going to help me run the race? Not, is this a sin to participate? The better question is this going to help me run the race? We need to get rid of distractions that keep us from running the race. We need to set our mind, I am entering through that narrow gate. Now, this thing over here may not be bad in itself, but it may be distracting me from what I need to be doing. Get rid of any barriers, anything that's holding you down. Jesus endured such hostility so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Those people in chapter 11 are excellent to look up to. They are excellent models for us. But the best model is in chapter 12. You look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Because if you look to him, you're not going to grow weary of doing good. Matthew chapter 5 in verse 11 and 12, Jesus says, "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." He says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Number one, the great blessing is we're in good company. If people are insulting you and treating you bad because you're standing up for Christ, way to go. You are blessed, Jesus says. You know, another thing, and I'm going back to 1 Peter. I said we were done. I thought we were done. We're going back. 1 Peter chapter 2. And in verses 11 and 12, and then again in chapter 3, verse 15, people will notice you. When you act differently than those around you, you're going to stand out. I tell you, you're going to stand out in a good way. Joseph stood out to Potiphar by the way he worked compared to those other slaves that Potiphar had in his household. He made Potiphar the head, the chief of the slaves. And he said, "I don't have to worry about anything. All I need to worry about is the food that I need to eat when I come home, because Joseph has everything under control." Daniel stood out to Nebuchadnezzar based on his wisdom. When we do things according to God's word, we are going to stand out. Jesus says, when we are told to go 1 mile with someone, go the extra mile. When we are constantly being kind to one another, boy, that's going to be different than how the world acts. I knew a story, or was told a story of a boy in high school who went to a gospel meeting instead of attending the championship game, that basketball game that he was a part of. And his teammates obviously understood, "Well, we didn't see you at the game. You were absent." Said, "Yes, I was at a gospel meeting." And what made the big difference was what he said. "Well, why weren't you there?" He did not say, "Because mom and dad made me." He said, "Why don't you come and see? Why don't you come and join me sometime and see why I missed? Because I put a priority on loving God's word, and that's more important to me than any basketball game." And a few of his friends listened to him and joined him at church. But I really appreciate that answer of, "Well, just come and see." Instead of, "Well, mean old mom and dad made me come to this gospel meeting when I would much rather be here at the game. So if you're going to be mad, don't be mad at me. Be mad at mom and dad." People will notice you. And I say that's a good thing. That gives you an opportunity to share with someone else the blessings of being with Christ. And you have a great reward. Again, looking at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Peter says, after mentioning all of those sufferings throughout the book, he says in verse 10, "After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Peter says, after you have suffered for a little while. You know, in the whole scheme of things, it's just a little while. Solomon says, or James says, we are here but with a vapor, right? It compares us to just a short amount of time we are here on earth. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 says, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And that's coming from the Apostle Paul, who was beaten, imprisoned, shipwrecked, you list it. Because of being with Christ, he endured such persecution. He says, you know, the glory that we're about to get when we go to heaven, it's not even worth, all these persecutions are not even worthy to be compared with what we're going to get. You look towards that reward. You look to the end of the road. You look to that gate that's going to be narrow, because that gate leads to life. Well, let's notice just a few ways in which we can be different and the lesson will be yours. One way we can be different than the world is our speech. It is common for people to tear down one another and make fun of each other, especially for a laugh. Right? If I mock so-and-so and I get a laugh, boy, I'm going to do that all day. Right? That's how the world thinks. Be different. Instead of tearing down, build up. Compliment one another. Say things you like about someone. Well, that's going to stand out. Don't be afraid to talk about God. Don't be afraid to talk about the Bible to others. Make a decision to always tell the truth, even when the truth doesn't make you look so good. Make it in your mind, I'm going to always tell the truth. Well, that's going to be different than the world. Another one is what we wear, our apparel. Many people want to be trendy with what they wear and not wear things that are out of fashion. Well, there's nothing wrong with being in fashion or being trendy, buying the latest clothes. The issue is when those clothes are not modest. When you go swimming, or you go to the beach, God still expects you to be modest. It does not say be modest unless you go to the beach. And then you can, you know, then wear whatever you want to wear. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4 says, "Let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle, a quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." If we're going to adorn ourselves, let's adorn our heart with a gentle and quiet spirit. And that's going to be precious. It says very precious in God's sight. So again, who are we trying to please? Are we trying to get the attention of a boy or a girl? Or are we trying to be very precious and beautiful in God's sight? The last one is just how we treat others. Do we try to go that second mile to help someone? How do we treat those who are not nice to us? Proverbs 15 and verse 1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." You want someone to get, and they're angry at you. Well, you know, a good way to keep that going is to say something back at them. You know, a good way to diffuse that whole situation, say something gentle in return. Matthew 5 and verse 46 and 47, "If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same?" Well, it's easy to love those who love you. He said, yeah, even the sinners do that. I'm calling you to be different. You be nice to those who are not nice to you. You love your enemies. You pray for those who mock you. That's being different. What's going to set us apart is having the mindset of focusing on serving others instead of being served. If our mentality is always, how can I help you? How can I serve you? instead of how can you serve me, till we're going to stand out. We're going to be the light of the world that we are called to be. Well, that's my lesson for this morning. I invite you to come back this evening. We're going to be looking at 2 Samuel chapter 7 and looking at God's covenant to David, a very powerful, powerful text. I look forward to studying and looking at with you this morning, this evening at 5, if you're willing and able to come back and be with us. If you're here this morning and you have a need that we can help you with in any way, if you need to turn your life over to Christ, boy, today's today to do that. There's never a better time to worship and serve God than today. If we can help you in any way, why don't you come forward now as we stand and as we sing.
Precious forever, no wonder.